Chapter 5. Wednesday, April 6th, 0011 New Era. 0142 hours. 3 days later. Scott bolted upright in his bunk, his eyes squinting in the darkness. What in the world? In the upper bunk, David stirred beneath the covers. It repeated for several seconds before Scott's eyes shot open wide. The comms. He leapt out of bed and scrambled toward the closet. David blinked and propped up.
What?
The comms! The comms are going off!
The comms are going off! We've got 3 minutes!
2.5! Let's go!
They collided into Beacon and Jaden as soon as they left the room.
Time! 1.5 minutes!
Outside, Falcon Platoon's operatives flat-tracked toward the hangar. Vulture 7 glimmered in the night, the ground beneath it illuminated by the soft red and gold glow of running lights on its underbelly. Tacker waited next to it.
Everyone in the transport, armor up!
Sir, yes, sir!
The operatives dashed up the Vulture's ramp. They opened their lockers where the Enon combat armor awaited. Lightweight, flexible, and technologically superior to anything else on the planet. It was the international symbol of the Enon operative. Its blue and silver finish dulled everything around it. It personified pride. The operatives fastened their helmets and lowered the sky-blue visors over their eyes and noses. Tacker ordered the pilot to lift. The pilot acknowledged, and Vulture 7 ascended over the airstrip.
Listen up, everyone. This is a hot drop. Approximately 1 hour ago, two Bachma carriers entered Earth's atmosphere over Chicago with a full fighter escort. They dropped in the middle of the city, and all citizens have been ordered underground. Expect heavy casualties. Hawk, Condor, Griffin, units were initially dispatched, but they got hit hard. We've been called in to provide support. Medics, be prepared for extensive casualties. If you have any reason to suspect no boats are in the air, alert someone immediately. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they're not there. If any materialize, take cover and hunker down. Also, Chicago is out of power, so make sure your TCVs are on.
The operatives acknowledged and activated the true color vision in their visors. The world took on an ethereal hue. Tacker swung toward the cockpit.
ETA!
5 minutes, sir.
5 minutes, people! Clear your minds, get focused, and get ready to land!
Hope for a smooth descent vanished as soon as Vulture 7 entered Chicago. Ground plasma fire blasted against its metal hull. Behind it, a small fleet of Vultures followed.
Touchdown in 30! We're landing behind a barricade on South Michigan. We should be able to exit without resistance. Stick together! I'm not chasing anyone down!
The stomach-turning rush of descent kicked in, and the Vulture clumped to the landing. The rear door immediately burst open.
All right, everyone out! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
The remnants of a building lay strewn across South Michigan Avenue. The barricade. Gunfire erupted on the other side. Burnt asphalt polluted the air. Injured Eden operatives littered the landing zone, and rows of soldiers fired from atop the rubble. Tacker shot a glare to Sasha and Natasha.
Medics, get to the wounded!
The women disappeared into the throng of injured. Tacker continued up the mound.
All right, now there's a company of Bachma en route to the barricade as we speak. Be prepared for heavy resistance.
Scott and Beacon reached the summit of the barricade first, and their eyes immediately widened. Fire illuminated the cratered streets of South Michigan. Lightning white plasma bolts streaked across the ground. Human shrieks mixed with gunfire. It was a war zone. Bachma foot soldiers amassed in the streets. Even from a distance, their unmistakable crimson-purple skin identified them, and their nauseous black and brown body armor seemed to perfectly define their role. Mingled with them were the brutish beasts themselves, the Khanrasis, the war beasts of the Bachma. They tromped ahead like miniature fur-covered tyrannosaurs as Bachma riders sat firm atop them and blasted the barricade with their mounted plasma cannons. The Kunrasi's soulless spider eyes roamed the battlefield above their grotesquely excessive jaws. Scott dropped to a knee and propped his assault rifle. For a moment, held fire. It was surreal. It couldn't be real. Beacon ducked to avoid plasma fire, and then he too propped his assault rifle.
There's no way in hell we're gonna hold this off!
David and Henry hit the summit next. Donald, harnessed with a minigun, followed. Beside them, Jaden glared through his sniper scope. David looked toward the Texan and then at Henry.
You okay over there?
Yeah, I'm good.
A white flash erupted several yards past Scott, and he felt a wave of impact wash over him. Someone had been hit. He whipped around to see Ziegler tumble backward down the barricade. Ziegler's faceplate smoldered, and he hollered. Scott said to Beacon,
I'll be right back.
He shouldered his E-35 and rushed toward the fallen operative.
Hold still, I got you.
Ziegler struggled, and the scorched helmet was removed.
You okay?
A bloodied bruise bulged in the center of Ziegler's forehead.
Yeah, watch out!
Ziegler brushed past Scott, picked up his assault rifle, and charged up the hill again. Scott observed the soldier for a moment, then returned to Beacon.
He all right?
No.
Beacon said nothing and continued to fire.
Major,
Weiland said as he approached Tacker.
They've confirmed. There are reinforcements coming in from farther down the road. We've got to keep holding them.
Tacker nodded.
You've got something else to worry about, though. There's a team from Cougar pinned down a couple of blocks southwest of here, near the Van Buren South Wabash intersection. According to comm chatter, they're under direct assault from at least a dozen hostiles, and they're too wounded to put up any real resistance.
Tacker crossed his arms.
And we're getting them out.
Not you. You're staying here. Henrik is going after him. He's got two guys from Delta ready to go. But I want you to give him a few more. A small team. Just an in-and-out operation. They should be able to just follow the shuttle rail.
With all due respect, sir, I wouldn't trust Henrik to walk my dog, let alone lead a rescue party.
That's why I want some of your guys with him. I would send you, but I want you here. I don't want to risk you getting dropped on some random errand and leaving me with a platoon full of rookies. If I lose you, they're not going to give me another major.
Understood, sir.
Tacker examined his operatives and made quick decisions.
Remington, McCray, Jergen, Timmons, over here right now.
Four's too many. Send three.
Tacker nodded as Leyland stepped away.
Correction. Jergen, you stay put. The rest of you come.
Scott, Beacon, and Jaden arrived a moment later, as did Henrik and his operatives, two privates named Donner and Wilkins. Tacker dropped to a knee.
Here's the deal, gentlemen. We've got some guys from Cougar Platoon pinned down several blocks southwest. Some are wounded. The streets you're looking for are Van Buren and South Wabash. There should be shuttle rail along that route. Track their comm signals and get some help. Search and rescue, not rocket science. Who's the medic here?
The operatives exchanged looks, though none spoke. Tacker's eyes widened and he glared at Henrik.
Did Leyland explain this to you before?
Yes, sir.
And you didn't take a trashing medic? Vec!
He cut off Henrik's reply.
Rhodes, get over here.
Sasha arrived a moment later and Tacker explained the situation again.
If anything happens to Lieutenant Henrik, Remington will assume command. Understand, Private?
Scott was momentarily taken aback.
Yes, sir.
He was the executive officer? As much as it didn't make sense, Scott knew it was Tacker's only option. Everyone in Falcon was an Alpha Private. One of them had to do it.
Good. Go.